Hi. Welcome back to Unfiltered. Now with just Melanie and friends and rotating co-hosts and guests. Today, no stranger to the podcast, to Unfiltered, my friend and real life co-host, Chris Bodden, who, and you go by on socials at Big Chris Radio.
That's right. On every platform, Chris with a K, Big Chris Radio.
You also have your own podcast.
Big Chris Live.
Yeah.
I should have named it Big Chris Radio as well, but I wasn't thinking at the time.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad that you could join me. Right off the top, your boy, Scottie Pippen. He's got some stuff to say about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, his new book. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let me just say everything Michael Jordan, in my eyes, is seen through a certain lens.
Right.
And I tend to want Michael Jordan to be evil, all mm-hmm. right? Like, I want him to be a bad guy. So Scottie Pippen's book is not helping, where he talks at length about a beef between him and Michael Jordan. Now, they had legendary runs, and of course, on the court, it all looked like they were great teammates and everything. Mm-hmm. But now we're like 25, 30 years later, and all this dirt is coming out.
Yeah, he's dropping this new memoir. It's called Unguarded. And he's kind of bashing that whole 2020 ESPN documentary, The Last Dance. He's bashing it, saying it was too much about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and I understand, because when I first watched Last Dance, I thought of it as sort of a documentary that followed the Chicago Bulls of that era around, only to realize that, oh, it's just a Michael Jordan puff piece. And I also found out that he had like the executive sign off on anything that went on that documentary. So he could have blocked things from being put on into that documentary, right? Mm-hmm. So that to me automatically is like, oh, it's just a glorification of the legend of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and Scottie Pippen is saying that, like, you know, Michael's selfish and hypocritical and insensitive, and that he made $10 million off the movie, but no one else made anything, which, I mean, that's kind of shit, as far as I'm concerned. That's pretty shitty. But when you look at the documentary description on Netflix or on anywhere, it says Michael Jordan. Like, it's about Michael Jordan and his time in the dynasty of the Bulls, but I think under the lens of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and I, you know, again, we can only speculate, but I'm speculating that this is just after years of pent-up frustration. You remember what it was like back in the day when MJ was on, like, on point, and they had that amazing run of just championship after championship after championship. I mean, it was all about Michael Jordan then. And I think that his teammates, Scottie Pippen or Dennis Rodman or any of the other talented, highly paid basketball players that were on that team in the era, are probably just tired of it being about Michael Jordan. Maybe they thought after so many years that people would come around, the sports Hall of Fame or the sports enthusiasts would come around and just say, well, you know, it was a good team. You know, Michael Jordan was a big part, but it was a team that hasn't, history is not looking back that way. And I think that's maybe what you're seeing here.
Yeah. Well, he even says in the book that Michael treated the teammates poorly. He said that he and Michael were never close, and they never have been.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, in the light of the times we're in, I know there is so much that needs to come out, that needed to come out. I got some stuff I would like to release too. you know, there are things that need, I think, to come to light. But stuff like this, I don't know. Like, unless we find out that Michael Jordan was like a real jackass, you know, did some real asshole shit. I'm like, I don't want to know these things,
right?
You know, like, you know, if he was a little bit, had a more attitude or a little more ego than everyone else. Yeah. Okay. If he treated you really, really, really poorly, then, you know, show us the receipts. I understand, you know, fine.
But he's not Harvey Weinstein is what you're saying. He's not Louis C.K. He wasn't caught jerking off in front of his teammates when they didn't want to see him jerk off. He didn't rape anybody. He's not a villain.
Yeah, like, do we, I mean, I don't know, like, I don't know that anyone's alleged that ever, not to my knowledge anyways.
No, they haven't.
But, you know, it's just, like, do we need to know all this stuff about celebs, like, all the time, or anyone that we look up to? It just, like, ruins everything. And I know Pippin has his story to tell.
He's got a beef, right?
Man, don't come at me about it, because, like, whatever. Like, if it's really serious, I get it. But just to me, it's like if someone sort of killed the prince thing for me, you know, and said
right.
he did certain things. Like, I don't want to know some stuff. You know, it's like seeing too many celebrities too open on social media. Like, I don't want to see all those things. Like, leave some stuff to our imaginations, you know?
Right.
Like, it just destroys it.
Well, to put it into a cancel culture context, can you cancel someone for just being a dick? I don't think you can.
I don't think so.
I think that's where we're at now, though, where people are just like, that guy's got a bad attitude. Canceled.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do anything illegal, or you don't need to do anything racist or do anything bad to get canceled now. People are trying to cancel you just for being a dick back in the day. And I can understand, you know, not every teammate, you don't get along with every teammate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess it's what level of dick were they, right? Like, that's the difference. Like I said, I mean, it was just ego and something on your shoulder, you know, whatever. That's one thing. But if he treated people really bad, of course.
But, I mean, personally, I want to believe that Michael Jordan is
you
a
do.
Dick. I do. I mean,
why are you, why?
It plays into my axe to grind with Michael Jordan, and it has everything to do with my wife. Because my wife's high school crush, like from the age of 13, she's had a crush on Michael Jordan.
Right.
And I'm threatened.
That's her jam.
I'm threatened by Michael Jordan.
She's never going to be Michael Jordan. You have nothing to worry
about. Michael Jordan's the hall pass.
Well, he's a hall pass for a reason. She's never going to meet Michael Jordan.
Well, who knows? I mean, she might go to an autograph signing if he's, you know, you never know.
She's not going to slide into his DMs and be like, yo, MJ, what's up?
You never know.
No, she's not going to do that.
But in my mind, you never know. So I'm always trying to find ways or reasons to think that Michael Jordan is a complete a-hole.
Right.
I'm going to buy Scottie Pippen's book for her for Christmas.
Oh, that's
actually
fantastic.
Like, hey, here you go. Just so you know, Michael Jordan's a jackass.
She's going to be so pissed reading that stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
probably.
My God.
She won't read it.
That's hilarious.
It. No, it would be a joke gift. She's like, great, you spent $40 on a hardcover book that I'm not going to read.
Yeah. On the topic of hall pass, though, recently I just read something that's so ridiculous. Someone said, like, this is like 39% of people or something like that, said that they would include in the hall pass anyone who just looks like a celebrity. So if it's Michael Jordan for your wife, anyone that looks like Michael Jordan would then be included in the hall pass. Like, a lot of people think that should be included.
That's bullshit. That's just someone who wants to cheat.
Right?
That's just someone who's looking for an excuse to cheat.
You know?
Where you're just looking for an excuse to do something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for an excuse to go hit a drive-thru after we're done recording this podcast. Like, I'm looking for something to be like, the steak is bad in the fridge. I'll just hit a drive-thru on the way home.
Exactly.
You know, I'm always looking for those cheap-ass excuses. That's a cheap-ass excuse to cheat.
It's a terrible loophole. It's an awful loophole. Anybody who says, like, okay, there's so many people who are doppelgangers for, like, celebs.
Oh, man. In that case, there would be, you know, tribute artists, like tribute bands, like the Prince tribute band or the, you know.
Okay, but wait a second. I have to admit, wait a second. Okay, well, let me just backtrack that.
Have you hooked up with a Prince impersonator?
No.
Okay.
But the Prince tribute band, I'm going to tag them in this. I can't remember.
Sign of the Times?
Damn it. No.
No.
Their name right now, just on the top. I can't remember. I will, though. I have to say that I was pretty attracted to the lead singer who was Prince.
Yeah, there you go.
And it was weird for me because there's a part of me that's like, oh, man, this is like a tribute act and it's weird. But, I mean, there were moments where it was like hauntingly similar.
Well, that person is still hot. Like, I'm sure when they wake up in the mirror not dressed as Prince and they go to their job at Starbucks or whatever the next day. Like every tribute band works at Starbucks, but anyways, that's a generalization, but they're probably hot when they just dress in their work clothes the next day.
Hot. I didn't see him out of his Prince clothes. So to me, it's like after a couple drinks, if he's just come off stage and he's saying Purple Rain the way he did, I might be all about it. Like, well, not now, obviously.
No, obviously it's not
now, but like, I remember seeing him and I was like, yeah, I'm very attracted to this. And if you go backstage and you can create the whole fantasy that it's them.
Right. Ugh. Maybe that's a specific fetish, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a niche thing for people,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
who want to hook up with impersonators or hook up with tributes.
By the way, just on that topic, can we just not have any more Prince impersonators, please? And please stop dressing up as Prince for Halloween.
Yeah, Prince is Prince for Halloween.
So gross. I saw so many people dressed up as Prince.
Really?
I know. I'm a huge Prince fan. It's different for me. But I don't want him to become a caricature. You know what I mean?
Well, too late, Melanie. He turned his name into a symbol.
No,
I mean, he's a caricature.
No, no.
Whether you like it or not.
Okay, podcast over. Shut up. No, but I mean, you know, the whole way Elvis became that and everyone was dressed as Elvis. And
right, yeah.
I hate the talkiness around all of that. Like, you know, I think real Prince fans hate it too. It's just, ugh.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, total side note. I was just angry with all the people dressed as Prince for Halloween.
I was angry with all the people dressed as Squid Game. And I was like, oh, God. You know, do you really want to dress up like a PlayStation remote?
Right.
You know, like I'm a PlayStation controller for Halloween. No, I'm a bad guy from Squid Game.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. Okay. So you had a big procedure done.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we haven't had a chance to actually chat about it. You had your vasectomy.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm, yeah.
It happened. And thank God, you know, I kept an eye on my wife. She didn't find a Michael Jordan impersonator during my time off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I got three needles in the junk, one underneath and one on each side.
Did that feel like, I can only imagine, because you're awake for that, right?
Oh, yeah. Fully conscious. I was having a great old chat with the doctor, too. We were talking politics, actually.
I don't know how you do that. That's scary to me, being awake for it. Did it feel anything like what the needle feels like when you're getting your dental work done?
Yeah, not as bad though. Okay. Here's the thing, the freezing going into my balls was less painful than the freezing going into my jaw for a root canal.
Really?
Yeah, I would still rather a needle in the balls than a needle in my gums. Okay. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
The most sensitive part for dudes.
Yeah, it is. But no, that's how bad tooth pain sucks and how bad dental surgery sucks. That's a story for another time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. And yeah, there was just a
moment. It was good?
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, I was in and out. I was out of the doctor's, off the operating table faster than the amount of time that I waited in the waiting room.
Wow.
So I maybe waited 20 minutes in the waiting room and the whole thing took 15 minutes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Did you smell, because I've heard that you smell
burning
flesh.
No, I didn't. Like the cauter, when they cauterize it.
Oh.
I know he cauterized it because they have to attach a ground to your leg. So they stuck this thing on my knee and they're like, yeah, this is the ground, the cauterizing or whatever.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Okay, cool. And I was expecting to, because a lot of people told me that you would smell like you're burning vas getting cauterized.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't. I guess they had ventilation. Maybe COVID protocols, right? They had fans, extra ventilation or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't smell it. And the other thing that people said that was going to happen was that the first time that you ejaculate, there was going to be blood in it.
Yeah, I heard that from a lot of people, actually.
No.
You've done the thing since then?
Well, that was just.
Okay.
Because there was a
That's why you seem more relaxed the last couple of days. You've been insane the last couple of weeks.
Have I? Well, that was
so much energy.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't even know. We talked to my wife about
up.
Talked about my wife about that energy because I had to not ejaculate for 2 weeks. That's what they said.
Wow.
Or face potential complications. They said to avoid complications, do not ejaculate within 2 weeks.
And how many times do you normally in a normal day?
Well, it's hard because we just had a baby, so that interrupts my whole schedule. But normally, twice, three, maybe even three times a day, if I was left to my own devices.
Okay.
Like if I had
on
the
your
house,
own.
If I had the whole house to myself, I would probably go for the trio.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot, man.
I've got a high drive.
Apparently.
I feel like my drive has been kicked into even higher drive since the vasectomy. And I don't know. You were joking, Mel. All sorts of people were joking. Oh, they're going to break it? Is it still going to work? Are you going to lose your libido?
Yeah.
No, it had the opposite effect.
Wow.
My libido has been on fire.
Really?
For the last couple of weeks. Mm. I'm And my wife, the poor girl, like she just for 2 weeks, like I was nothing but a tease. Like she couldn't get a moment alone in the house.
Yeah.
You know, she'd be straightening her hair with the hair straightener and all of a sudden my hand would just pop out into the bathroom like honk and squeeze her boob. You know what I mean? Like she was not
safe. Did you actually say honk?
I said it in my head. I didn't say it out loud though.
Oh my God.
But you know, her,
she's such a lucky girl.
Her tits weren't safe. No matter, her ass was not safe. It was going to get spanked. It was going to get grabbed. Her tits were going to get grabbed.
And like, she likes this, right?
She's been getting tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no resolution. Because right. It was like, this is going nowhere.
Right.
It was her thought process on it, God. Right?
That's fantastic.
So yeah, it was 2 weeks of torture for her and I.
Right.
And I was sharing my torture with her in a way.
I wouldn't like the honk for sure. That would not.
You don't like the honk?
No,
you don't
like
when you're
honk.
Brushing your teeth or doing your hair or whatever just to get a rub down?
A rub down is better than like a squeeze, like a honk. Like that's different.
Well, sometimes it was a rub down, sometimes it was a honk. I mean, when she's
just
using
randomly squeeze, I'm not about that.
When she's using the hair straightener, I'll honk because that thing can burn you. So I don't want to get too close. Like, there's nothing worse than sneaking up with someone while they're straightening their hair and then kissing the back of their neck and then getting a straightening iron right on your forehead.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, that's no good. You don't want to startle them.
No, exactly.
So I do the honk for those kind of situations. Keep your distance, you know, for safety reasons.
Yeah.
So it was not just me chasing around the house, but like in my mind, Melanie, my libido was like off the charts. Like, I started having like crazy fantasies.
Oh.
And like, oh yeah, like stuff that I'm like, honey, we got to try this. We got to do that. I'm like starting to recommend things.
Okay.
I'm browsing sex shops. I've never shopped at a sex shop in my life. Next thing you know, I got like a $90 order coming to the house.
Where did you order from?
Pink Cherry.
Oh.
Pinkcherry.ca.
There you go. They've sent me some stuff for free.
Use promo code SPICE.
Yeah.
Get yourself some free nipple clamps.
Oh my God. Okay, so are these fantasies and what you ordered like completely out of the ordinary for you guys?
Yeah, yes and no. Like there's nothing that would be completely shocking and you know what I mean? Like there's nothing that we haven't, there's nothing that she would, I don't know how to describe it. Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like me talking about her shit. I'm always happy to talk about my shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm happy to put it out there, but she doesn't want the intimate, mm-hmm. you know, of her preferences and stuff put out there in the public domain.
Understandable, yeah.
So I'm trying to find a way to tiptoe around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it turns out, I had a chat with her. I'm like, honey, like I am having like a sexual renaissance right now. Like,
renaissance.
I'm having a renaissance. And she's like, a what? And I'm like, and you know, it's a combination of things. I'm 40. I just turned 40. Mm-hmm. I had a vasectomy. We had a child. You know, like there's a combination of a lot of things going on, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm having a renaissance. And
I love that you're calling it that. A renaissance.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Right.
Is this awakening, if you will.
Okay.
I've had these thoughts, these fantasies. I was writing things down in those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like I was writing stories, like sexy stories.
What?
Or like writing my fantasies down in like a notepad. And like,
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. And I was telling myself that it was crazy.
Not crazy in a bad way. Sorry, I shouldn't use that word. It's just like wild, like that you're actually even writing out stories.
Well,
that's a lot of change.
Yeah, and that's not the only change.
Mm-hmm.
I sent her a dick pic.
Okay.
For the first time.
For the first time ever in your relationship?
Ever. It was my first dick pic too.
You've never sent a dick pic?
Never.
I applaud you, my friend.
Really? You applaud that? Okay.
Yeah. I applaud you because, I mean, unless it's a wanted or, you know, a solicited dick pic, most of us don't want to see it.
Yeah. Well, neither did she.
Yeah. Oh, no. It wasn't received well.
Well, let's, for starters, just backtrack for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you how she received it in a second. But,
yeah.
Like, it was my first dick pic. The only thing that could be classified as a dick pic that I'd done in the past,
which right.
it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
It was for like girls in the past. Like I would do, and I think it's bullshit now looking back, and I'm like, fuck, I should have just showed her my dick. But you know where you get a boner or whatever, and then you do it through the pants, where you've got like the bulge in the pants, and you're you're like pulling the underwear down over your boner, and it's like, it's kind of like a tease thing, but like that's bullshit. That's a bullshit move, right?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like that move. I get some of those too, and I know they're like trying to be classy about it. But
be coy.
Yeah, it's not.
Sorry. Yeah, so
not for me. I mean, some women like
but I sent her a full on, and it was looking good too. Like, I mean, I'm not blessed. I mean, you know, I don't have the genes, you know.
Yeah.
The Irish, the Scandinavian and the Irish, it's just no good. I mean,
yeah.
You might as well call me Potato McSmall Penis.
Oh, man.
With my genes, right?
She's sounding luckier and luckier every day.
Well, no, listen, she enjoys it. She's never complained about girth or size or anything of that nature. But, you know, right. It's just like when you get in the locker room with other dudes and it's like you start looking around and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm way outclassed.
Do you guys totally look around?
I mean, you know, I don't stare. I'm not a cock starer. But, right. Like, at the same time, I know, like, listen, sometimes there's some you can't help but notice that are, like, slapping left, right, you know, like, you can't notice it.
And that's the one guy who's probably walking so proud across the change room, like, because he knows.
He's got Superman pose the whole time. I'm like, how do you keep your hands on your hips and just walk around like that? Do you not, can you not detach your hands from your hips?
Right, yeah.
But, like, in the context of, like, remember the old kids game Battleship? Where you had the different ships on the thing, and there was the destroyer, and there was the battleship, and then there was the gunship and the different things. Yeah, I was the little tiny ship.
Aww,
I'm the little tiny ship in the locker room, yeah.
I feel like you need a hug.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
It works.
No, it doesn't work. It's been taken care of, actually. The surgery took care of it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she received the dick pic. I was nervous about it because I'm not as confident about my... You know,
right
package,
right?
And I was hoping that she would be turned on by it, or hoping that she would, you know, say that's hot or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was kind of like a I don't have time for this right now kind of vibe.
Mm.
And I know that it was at 7:30 in the morning, and she was up with the baby, and she was
while we were on the air at work. Chris and I work together.
Yeah, I took it before I got to work. By the way, just for the record, I did it in my own bathroom in my house.
But you sent it at work.
But I sent it while we were here
because the boss never hears this episode.
Well, no, because I wasn't sure whether
it was
I should.
During my break.
No.
I swear to God, two songs were playing.
Went out to the car, took a dick pic. No, I took it at home and I wasn't sure whether to send it or not. And then when I was at work, I was like, okay, I'm going to just send it. Boom. And I sent it off. She was with the baby, like doing like breakfast, like feeding. She's just starting on food right now. So she's like, you know, doing the spoon and there's a mess everywhere. And, you know.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden this dick just shows up in her text.
God.
Right. Yeah. I know. But again, I said this to her and I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. Honey, I'm having a renaissance.
That's right.
I'm having a renaissance.
I now send dick pics.
Yeah, I do this now.
Yeah.
And I even thought that, like, okay, so, like, it was...
That's a hard change for her, though.
It was
a
lot.
If it's never been done before, I could see that as being alarming.
Well, and because I, you know, she knows I'm backed up because of the vasectomy, and she knows that I'm on a hiatus, and she already knew that I'd been fantasizing about a bunch of stuff, and, you know, I told her about the stuff that I was fantasizing about, and she was into it.
Yeah.
So that even spurred me more. I was like, oh, she's into it. You know, I got hotter because I'm like, oh, she's into it. This could actually happen. It's not even a fantasy now. This could for real happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I was like, okay, I'm going to send her a dick pic per day until my 2 weeks is up, which at that point was like 5 or 6 days. So I was going to send a dick pic per day, you know, up until the time that I was cleared to be active again.
Yeah. I would have told you not to.
No. She, I did not do that. That was one and only thing. One and done.
She shot that shit down.
Yeah, she shot it down. Yeah. And again, she was.
And I mean, you know, there's such thing as too much of a good thing, right? Like, too many days in a row is too many days in a row.
That's true, too.
Too much.
But also, Mel, like, the side.
All guys can learn that. Like, if she likes it, doesn't mean it's going to, like, she wants it all the time. Like, gentle.
Yes.
You know, here and there.
Yes.
Not every day.
Yeah, I'm learning these things the hard way, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger problem is that she, I think, for a minute there, thought that there was something going on the side. She thought I was cheating, maybe.
No.
Yeah, and that to me was soul crushing because everyone knows the first thing they'll say about me is that he fucking loves his wife.
Right.
And I do. And I wouldn't do that.
No,
but it was crushing to me to think that I'm feeling hot for her, hotter than hotter than ever, red hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming up with these crazy ideas and honey, join me on this renaissance.
Yeah.
Come with me. Take my hand. and to think that she interpreted it completely different, that he's hot, he's grabbing me all the time, he's hot for me, he wants to do things that we haven't done before, now he's sending me a dick pic, he's never sent me a dick pic before. Like, she even thought that I accidentally sent it to her, and I meant to send it to someone else. That's what she said, that she thought that maybe I was trying to send it to someone else.
And I can ouch, that hurts. I can see that, though. I think any sudden change, we do, like, you know, it's a bit, comes to you as a red flag sometimes, especially if you've been, you know, cheated on in the past, or, you know, you have a little bit of baggage there. Not that she doesn't trust you, because I know she trusts you.
Sure.
But I can see that becoming a bit of a, like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like a sudden change in someone, I think, after you've been together for some time.
Well, within 2 weeks, all of a sudden I'm writing erotica of fantasies that I want to do, and I'm sending dick pics, and I'm ordering stuff from pinkcherry.ca.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see. I can see that.
Yeah, I can definitely
see
it.
And if the roles were reversed, you'd probably be questioning it too. Like, what's going on?
No, I'm a fucking horn dog, just like any other guy, Mel. If my wife or my girlfriend or whoever, my partner is like, hey, honey, I want to do this and this and this and this. I'm like, fucking right, let's do it. Hey-o. Like, guys, we're just freaking dogs. You know, I'd probably think about it after the fact.
Right, I was just going to say.
But I'd jump right in for sure, right?
Okay.
So that was a bit of a problem, but we've smoothed things out.
Okay.
And
you've settled down a little bit. I feel like your energy's changed a bit.
Well, yeah, because I'm less backed up,
right,
for starters. Yes. Like, we, you know, and not only that, I returned to ejaculation with some of the fantasies that I'd come up with.
Oh,
She jumped in. Yeah, we made it all happen. So.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
That was great. Yeah. And everybody had a good time.
So no weirdness? I always worry about, I say no weirdness because I always worry about acting out on fantasies, depending on what they are, of course, how extreme they are. I always worry about after the climax feeling weird about it. Because even if I watch porn and I watch like a specific porn that day, I don't know, whatever grabs me, I sometimes go, like afterwards, like I feel this little weird guilt feeling.
Really?
A little bit,
like a niche porn or something like that.
It's just like something a little more.
Slightly on the fringe of your normal.
Wild than I would normally. And I have friends too that have been to sex parties and, you know, stuff like that. And they're like, it's all hot when you go in. But when you leave, you feel like, shit, I did that.
Yeah,
because it's always, you know, your body relaxes after the climax. You're not in the fantasy thought anymore.
Yep.
And then you hit, like, reality hits and it's like, I mean, I've talked to sex therapists about this. Like, we've had them on the podcast who have said, no, you shouldn't feel guilty. But sometimes you do. Like, it's not because it's bad what you did. It's just, I think, normal after the climax to kind of feel a little weirded out by what you just were into.
Yeah, and thankfully there was none of that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and again, like, I didn't.
Okay, fuck. Maybe it's just me then.
No, Mel. No, I think that's super normal. I think that the thing was is that I wasn't proposing anything that was completely out to lunch.
Right.
It was kind of just like I don't want to get into too many details, but like games, like nothing new, but just like let's take what we do already and create like a game around it, or like rules and just things like that.
Okay.
Like, you know, I can't go into too many details.
I know.
You get what I mean, though. Like, you know, there's nothing. It's not like I was like, honey, I want to pee on you. You know,
right.
I didn't say that.
It wasn't that far.
Yeah. And I never understood how, like, if you're in a relationship for a long time, like 7-8 years, like we are, like an established couple, where all of a sudden it's like, if I really wanted to pee on her, I should have told her that before I asked her to marry me. Before we got married, I should have said, by the way, I got this crazy thing that I have been hiding from you. You got to get that out of the way early.
Yeah, you should. It's not right out the gate conversation.
It's not first date material.
I want to pee on you. No, but it should be in the first little while.
But
I do also understand some fantasies, unfortunately, people feel a little shamed in their fantasies.
Yeah.
So it might take years before they're able to admit it.
Yeah.
And say, look, like, this is burning me inside. Like, I want to try this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can only hope that your partner goes, fuck me too.
Yeah.
This whole time.
Honey, Boo Bear.
Yeah.
Schnookums.
Yeah.
Can I pee on you?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that's a big one, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can only hope because, you know, otherwise then you for sure got to get into therapy and go over that whole thing.
Well, yeah, that's why, again, like I knew that the things that I had sort of cooked up in my mind weren't going to be too out there for her, thankfully, and thankfully they weren't.
Can I mention one thing that you bought that I never heard about?
Yeah, what's that?
Am I allowed to mention the thing you told me about earlier today?
The sex pillow?
Okay, yeah, that.
Yeah, so the sex
what
wedge.
What the hell is a sex pillow? And what am I missing out on?
It's a wedge. It's a wedge. It's
what do you do with a wedge?
Well, it's like a...
Man, I feel so dumb. I'm like, what are you doing?
No, it's a memory foam pillow. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like a... It's like a ramp.
Okay.
And then it comes up and it stops. And it's like, you know, for... and again... I'm a tall fellow.
Okay.
And it's to elevate. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's to elevate. So if she's on the wedge on her back, for example, that means she's in the air. She's 7 inches off the bed, right?
Oh.
So you know, it lines things up better is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not really anything kinky.
I visualize it, I'm like, all right.
It's more so for practicality.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And have you tried it? Does it work? Is it good?
It's in the mail. Hasn't come yet. I just ordered that today, by the way. That's not something I ordered a couple of weeks back. I'm still ordering shit.
You need that sponsorship for your podcast.
Yeah. Pink Cherry.ca. Give me a call, by the way. Big Chris Live.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm glad that all worked out and the vasectomy wasn't as bad.
Yes.
You know?
It's all good. Yeah. I was wearing sweatpants for maybe 3 or 4 days longer than I had to. I was using the vasectomy as an excuse to wear sweatpants for a week solid.
Ah, dude. Everybody is right now. It's fine.
Yeah, it's COVID pandemic. But yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it was great to have the release after 2 weeks, let me tell you.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I felt like, again, this might be, again, too much information about what goes on in my bedroom. Yeah, it's Melanie unfucking filtered. Why don't I just take the filter off? Why don't I? When I fucking came after that 2 weeks after the vasectomy, it was the biggest, most hardest, most intense orgasm of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that's the buildup or something to do with the vasectomy?
It was all of it. I think it was the vasectomy. I don't think it was the vasectomy. I think it was the buildup of waiting 2 weeks.
Right.
And being hot and being like all those fantasies and everything like built up to it. And then all of a sudden the fantasies that I had came true.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a bomb went off. It was like... My ears were ringing.
Oh my God.
And my head was dizzy and I was seeing stars and I couldn't move. And I could laugh.
Yeah.
I just laughed.
Wow.
I like chuckled to myself like.
Oh, there it is.
That wasn't even close to my O face. But anyways.
Wow.
It was intense, man. And I think my wife felt satisfied. I felt
good.
Like that she, you know, I felt like that she was like, okay. That was fun, and you know, we could do this again. So
I'm glad it all came around because I was a little worried there for a minute. Honestly,
around, no pun intended.
I did like behind the scenes. You know, Chris and I, like I said, worked together, and the energy that you had I could see it was like almost like manic in the sense that I need this to happen now.
Oh yeah,
I felt you suffering is what I felt.
Well, like And again, unfiltered, you know, in those 2 weeks, I was just waking up with like the hardest of hearts. Like, and that's also why I took a picture of it that day.
You couldn't believe it?
Well, I was like, man, this is impressively veiny today. You know, a lot of blood flow.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't been going through.
If you and Ottawa want to borrow my sex pillow.
I refrain from borrowing sex toys. That's not my jam.
I know.
I don't think it's something that you should lend out. But
I know. I had anal beads in me one time a long time ago. And I found out after the fact that they weren't brand new.
You just said that so casually. So I had anal beads in me one time.
Well, it's unfiltered, bitches.
Wow.
But I found out after. This is not my wife. This is like years and years ago. This is like a decade and 15 years ago. And I found out after the fact that they weren't new.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? How did you wash them? Like, did you wash them? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, with what? And they you know, like Purell. It's okay. I rubbed them down in Purell. It's fine. No, they like the wipes, you know, the Clorox wipes or whatever like that.
Oh my God.
But like, I was like, shit.
Yeah, that would really bother me. First of all, yeah, good for you for trying that.
I never saw that person again.
Yeah.
But I'm always open. That's the other thing too. That's the other thing that shocked my wife is that like, she was like, you know, like we have always been both of us. Like the, you know, I'm open to anything. I don't really have any preferences.
Yeah.
But I'm open to whatever. But she's the same type of person. So we've just both been, for the last 7 years, been like, yeah, do you want to do anything? No, no, I like what we're doing. Okay, me too. And that's been it. Mm-hmm. So it's also like, it's been fun to like advance things.
Spice it up.
Spice it up in that regard too.
Someone once said to me, I remember it was a guy actually, and I'm pretty adventurous in bed. Mm. And he said to me,
hang on, you're adventurous and you don't know what a fucking sex wedge is, a pillow?
No, I've never heard of that before. Honestly, no.
Okay.
But I fancy myself adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's way more adventure to be had.
Pinkcherry.ca.
Yeah.
Adventure awaits.
But someone once said to me, we're pushing it a little bit and, you know, going more. And it's always me, you know, sort of.
Driving it,
yeah. And we talked about it afterwards and he said, I worry that if we go too far, there will be nowhere else to go. And at that time, it felt like we were going to be together forever, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
And he was like, what are we going to do when we're in our late 40s or 50s or whatever? And I'm like, I guess. So would he ramp up real friggin' slow over the years? Like, you know what I mean? Because if you're sort of leading up to those fantasies.
Yeah.
At what point do you go, okay, we've gotten to the maximum we're willing to do. Then does it become boredom for the rest of your life with that person? Sorry, I don't mean to.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, Mel. I can tell you is that like we have a ceiling that I think we can go even further. But yeah, eventually you're going to hit a ceiling.
Yeah.
You know.
And then what? You just.
Well, and then I think you just perfect things.
Go back to the basics.
No, then you perfect it.
Right.
I think that you can spend a lot of years polishing fantasies into, and then they take on a life of their own, like a recipe, you know, like, oh, you know, I've got a recipe that it's called the red pepper goulet or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's like, but over the years, you know, I've added different things into it and it has a slightly different taste.
But it's still the red pepper goulash.
But it's still exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, you can always still add little things here and there and then, or take little things away or, you know, withhold or tease. You know, there's lots of different things you can do.
Don't say too much more. She's right. Not going to like
no,
it.
No, I know.
Well, I haven't had anything like that going on in my life. I am satisfied, but only on the weekends because that's when I see Ottawa.
Yeah.
But we're still in the beginning, so it's all kind of like everything. All of it's good and fresh and awesome as always.
That is good.
But I got a little guy. I got another little guy.
Speaking of mixing it up, you guys have brought a third into your relationship.
We have. And he's a bit of a cock block. He really is.
Because
I'm falling in love with him. And he actually kind of got in the way of the sex this weekend with Ottawa. I got a little puppy. He's not a puppy. He's 5 years old.
Yeah.
He's a 5-year old chihuahua.
With a big set of balls.
Yeah. He's got big dick energy because he hasn't had his balls chopped. So those are coming off.
You mean that dog is more of a male than I am?
He's totally intact. Yeah. Sorry, man. He's intact, but that's going to change. But yeah, it's been this process. Like I've been fostering him for a while and I haven't been sure because I mean, owning a dog, it's a big responsibility. I've been on my own for a long time, like enjoying absolute freedom. But in that there's like really lonely moments where you're like, man, like I like being able to do whatever I want, but I also want something living with me. Like I miss having a little partner. In an animal.
Yeah.
And anyways, it's been, I don't know, like what, three weeks, maybe a little bit more. And I finally decided that I'm going to keep him.
She's keeping him.
I'm keeping him. He squirmed his way into my heart. He grew on me. He's just the best dog ever.
But when I say that you've brought a third into the relationship, I'm only half kidding because he humped Ottawa's head the other day.
Yeah, he totally did. And that was one of the big things for me was.
Did he finish?
No.
Okay.
I would die. I would die. I would die if I ever saw that. No, I like Ottawa is not a huge fan of having dogs in the bed. No, he's like a little tiny chihuahua.
I understand
it's
that.
No big deal. And we talked about getting a dog before. We haven't lived together yet. We haven't had any of that stuff. But I said, you know, in my world, dogs sleep on the bed. That's the jam. That's like, look, I mean, there's no point in having a dog otherwise, I think. But I'm being all mature and shit. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
Or it must be like real love. Because I'm like,
must be.
I got to really consider Ottawa's feelings.
Wow.
I know.
You're like, considering other people's feelings, Melanie? You've grown. You've grown.
I've always considered other people's feelings, but not boyfriends. I haven't been great at, I haven't been great at that whole thing. And I haven't been great at the compromise.
Yes.
So I was really concerned about bringing the dog in and thinking like, oh my God, I don't want the dog to sleep like beside the bed. I want him in the bed. So I brought him to Ottawa and we were in his bed and Ottawa laid his head down on the pillow and the dog started humping his head. And I was like, dude, this is not going to help your cause.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be humping his head.
Yeah.
But he's just got that big dick energy right now, right? Like, that's going to go away.
Well, that was me for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, totally. He was reminded me of you. Yeah, the same kind of energy. But that'll be done. And yeah, I'm happy. He brings a lot of joy into my life. Haven't laughed or smiled as much as I have with him. Like, that whole responsibility of having a dog thing and like having to go for a walk and all that, that stuff sucks sometimes. Like, you really got to think, do you want to go out in the snow? Do you want to go out in the sleet and the rain? You know, no matter what, that's a huge responsibility if you're going to do it right. Can you afford the vet bills? You know, all of that stuff I had to think about. The timing felt off, but oh man, I fell in love with him and now I'm just like, I can't let him go. So yeah, his name is Radio.
You named the dog Radio?
I named the dog Radio.
You named the job after your profession, or the dog after your profession?
Yeah, not really after that. I just always thought that Radio would be cute for a dog. Like, yes, when I started in radio, but it like, it's something that kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, oh, Radio would be really cute for a dog. And so I've kept it sort of as an aside.
That's like a construction worker naming their dog Backhoe. Or a mechanic naming their dog Oil Change. Like, what?
Or Tool Belt.
Yeah, Tool Belt.
Your tool.
Hey, Tooley.
I like over Radio. Here, I think it's so cute. And he's got these like antenna size ears. So it all kind of makes sense. And the thing is, when I'm falling in love with him, I'm like, we're in the bed and Ottawa comes to visit. And I'm like, oh, I'm giving him all snuggles and love. And like, there's Ottawa going, hello.
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah. Like, what about my fantasies?
Yeah, he's a bit of a cock block that way, but that's sure terrible. That'll settle down once my, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, there's nothing like a good little break to build up anticipation.
Right. That's Let true. Me tell you. That's true.
Let me tell you that. It's actually good for you.
Although you made it sound like torture before.
It was, but in a way, listen, I can't argue with the results. You know what I'm saying? Can't argue with that bomb going off.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
I was shell-shocked, man. I tell you, the ears were ringing and everything. It was wild.
That's fantastic.
It was wild. I'd recommend it to you.
Okay, so before we go, just quickly, I always ask people for a recommend. You got one, Chris?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Uh-oh.
Bellessa.co. It's a website.
Bellessa.co.
BELLESA.CO.
Okay. Bellessa.co.
Porn for women.
Oh.
The best free female-friendly HD porn videos and erotic stories.
Really?
Hot guys, storylines, natural bodies.
And it's all free?
Yep.
Okay.
It's basically the porn hub, but it's with a hard female slant on it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, women generally like story more. So if there's more story, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah. There's stories, but I viewed some of the videos on there.
Yeah.
And they're hot for me, too. It's not just for women. I look at it, and I'm like, hot's hot sometimes. Yeah. You know, hot's hot. I don't care who it's catered towards. Hot's hot.
No, and if it's something a little different, I heard Joe Rogan say this the other day, and it's so accurate because I've used RedTube from time to time.
That's your site?
I have, but it's like totally all stepmom and stepsister shit right
now. Yeah, I know. I can't fucking stand that.
And like, it's all over the place. And I'm like, holy, like, it's a lot of that. And it's like, that story's getting old.
It's like, remember in the 80s and the 90s, it was the pizza delivery guy?
Yes.
Ding dong, pizza's here.
Like,
and then the porn music started. Yeah. Oh, I can't pay for my pizza. But like, yeah, now it's gone from the pizza guy comes and you don't have money to pay for the pizza. And now it's stepmom, stepsister.
Yeah.
Daddy daughter shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, daddy daughter. Whoa, you just took that to a different
Well, I'm just
point.
Saying it's all fucked. It's all fucking twisted, man.
Yeah,
like,
I've
when I'm saying I got fantasies, it ain't nothing like that.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
The reason, obviously, it's just been part of some of my games and stuff. I found a nice site that's female friendly that,
yeah.
that the missus may want to watch.
Awesome.
Together, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't pitched it to her yet, but we'll see.
All right. my recommend for the week is not that. I have been watching Succession.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
dude. I only got on it because the hype train for season 3 came out and it was like, oh, I hadn't even heard of Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was talking about it on socials, like, oh my God, season 3 is here. So I went back, started it, and I'm now on season 2 and I love it. The only thing is right now I'm getting a little bit of the FOMO because it's, you know, they're just so rich. They're so rich.
Yeah, watching these, even though they're fictional, they're so rich.
But I'm finding it just, oh my God, I want to travel by helicopter everywhere. You know, I'm getting all this like frustration that there's so much money that I don't have. So that's a little bit. And the story is obviously repetitive. You know, it's about who's going to be the successor to this business and get the money. And, you know, there's kids involved and they're all sort of fighting for it. But it's getting to be a little monotonous for me.
Right.
Maybe it'll pick up again in season 3. Who knows? But it's worth watching, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty good show.
Okay, Succession.
It's on Crave.
I like the first 5 minutes. I didn't, you know, the baby starts crying and you're like, oh shit. And then the rest of the night's fucked. But I've got to continue watching. It's up there for me. So I've been trying to check it out myself.
Yeah.
And I didn't know you were looking for TV show recommends. I went to porn site recommends.
Of course you did.
But I'm in a renaissance, Melanie. It's a renaissance. But no, this Sunday is the return of The Curse of Oak Island.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
The world's longest treasure hunt. The world's largest
treasure hunt that never ends. Chris is such a huge fan. You haven't even done, like, episodes of your podcast just about Oak Island?
Yeah, actually we did. Yeah, we had a whole roundtable on enthusiasts and fans of Oak Island pitching theories about where the treasure is and so on and so forth.
Man.
But yeah, that's out there for those nerds who like treasure hunts.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for joining Unfiltered. I appreciate it. As always, we'll continue. The episodes won't be consistently released every week. Right now, we're going to be adding some new information on our Patreon page if you want to head over to that and continue to support us. For those of you, I say us, it's just me right now. Rotating guests will be the us. but I really appreciate those who are still in my Patreon. Like, you know.
Keep it up.
I can't even express my gratitude for that enough.
Sometimes that's all you got is your fans.
Yeah. Well, man, they have been fantastic. Like I said, I mean, it's surprising all the time. But I appreciate you. And, of course, we're on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, Unfiltered with Melanie. And once again, Chris, where can people hear your podcast?
Yeah, it's on the Dean Blundell Network as well,
mm-hmm.
DeanBlundell.com. But it's everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the live.
And you have, like, a lot of guests on your podcast, like bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like 90s Canadian bands.
That's
like
cool.
The guys from the Tragically Hip and I know each other quite well. They've been on, they've guested. Recently I had John Harvey, the lead singer from Monster Truck, band out of Hamilton, who was with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sort of go through the Canadian rock and roll Rolodex of people who I know. The Trues, of course, I know them very well.
Mm-hmm.
Been on one of their songs playing bagpipes. That's a story for another time. But
they've
all guested and are reoccurring guests on occasion. Plus, B-class comedians who you've never heard of, who are friends of mine, who I smoke weed with, they often come on the podcast as well. Sometimes you never know what you're going to get, but...
I show dick pics on your podcast, and then you get banned on Facebook.
That happened too. That was dramatic.
Yeah, so you can find all that there. It's pretty fun.
Yep. And appreciate the plugs, Mel, and thanks. Come find me, Big Chris Live.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everybody.